Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
It is April the 18th, and we are in Malachim Beis in Perek Yud Ches, chapter 18, but we have to do a little bit more of Divrei Hayamim, which we spent the bulk of the last class doing, because in Malachim, there's very little discussion about Chizkiyahu's first year as king, whereas in Divrei Hayamim, we have three chapters devoted to his first year as king. So that's why we spent some time on it last week, and we're going to finish up that tonight, and then move back to Malachim. What we had described last time is that the Chizkiyahu suddenly turned the country around. From his father Achaz, who was a Rasha, Chizkiyahu turned things around so suddenly people didn't realize how sincere Chizkiyahu was. And the Kohanim and the Levim were late jumping on the bandwagon to join with Chizkiyahu in the Beis HaMikdash. And as a result, they, in trying to purify the Beis HaMikdash in time for Pesach, they were not able to do so. They missed it. They missed the deadline. And therefore, they had to make a Pesach Sheni. By the time they got the Pesach Sheni, then the Kohanim and the Levim were all jumping on board. And Chizkiyahu tried to gather all the Jewish people from all the tribes, including the northern kingdom. That was not very successful to get them to come, but there was a massive gathering for Pesach Sheni. They made a huge celebration, multi-day celebration for Pesach Sheni. And it says they davened and their tefillos were answered. Now, in Divrei Hayamim Beis, in Perek Lamanov, chapter 31, I'm going to continue reading over here. The pasuk says, "Uchechalos kol zos." When this was all finished, "Yatzu chol Yisrael hanimtziim la'arei Yehuda." So all the Jews who were found in the cities of Yehuda came out. "Vayeshabru hamatzevos." They broke down the altars. "Vayegadu ha'asherim." They cut down the trees for avodah zarah. "Vayenatzu es habamos," and they smashed the private mizbechos. "Ves hamizbechos mikol Yehuda uBinyamin uVeEfraim uMenasha alchalei." So they went through Yehuda and Binyamin, which is the southern kingdom, and Ephraim and Menasha, which is the northern kingdom, and they eradicated all of the avodah zarah and all of the bamos, all the private altars that people had. So this is what Chizkiyahu, of course, wanted to be done, but he wasn't able to do it before because he didn't have the manpower. So before they were only able to purify the Beis HaMikdash, now they were able to purify all the surrounding tribes. And everybody went back to their own places, their own inheritance, to their cities. And Chizkiyahu then established or re-established the divisions of the Kohanim and the Levim, meaning the shifts of the Kohanim and the Levim, al machlekosam, according to their appointments, ish kafi avodoso, each man according to his job, la kohanim v'la levim, la ola v'li shlamim, for the kohanim v'la levim to do the ola and the shlamim, l'shareis, to serve ulahodos, and to praise ulahalel, another word for praise, b'sharei machanos Hashem, in the gates of the encampment of Hashem. So Chizkiyahu now sets his attention to getting the Kohanim Levim now into a organized, regular system, which is where they're supposed to be, which had been the case for hundreds of years, but was now had been disrupted by the evil kings that had preceded him. So now he reestablishes that. Umenas Hamelech min rechusho leolos. And then the portion of the king from his own wealth was used for olos. La'olos haboker v'ha'erev, that was used for the carbon tamid, for the morning and afternoon. V'ha'olos la'shabbosos v'la'chadoshim v'la'mo'adim, and also for the various musafim on Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh and the holidays. Kakasub b'saras Hashem, like it says in the Torah of Hashem. Vayamr la'am li'oshvi Yerushalayim, and Chizkiyahu told the nation, those dwelling in Yerushalayim, la'seis minas ha'kohanim ha'leviim, to give the portions of the Kohanim and the Leviim. What is the portions of the Kohanim and the Leviim that people have to give?
The Kohanim.
Shumas and Maestras. Right. Leman yechez ku besoras Hashem. So that they, the Kohanim and the Leviim, should be strengthened in the Torah of Hashem. The Gemara derives from here that a person should not give their matnos kuhuna, their truma, etc. They should not give it to a kohen who is an am haaretz, a kohen who is not learned, because the pasuk says, why should they give it? Now they should give it because Hashem says to give it. It's a mitzvah in the Torah. But Chizkiyahu said, leman yeches ku besoras Hashem, so that they will be strengthened in the Torah of Hashem. Which means that although, of course, the mitzvah is to give to any kohen or any levi, but the intent of the mitzvah is that the Kohanim and Leviim should be able to focus on Torah's Hashem. It doesn't only mean to learn Torah, it means to be able to perform the service in the Beis HaMikdash and be exempt from making a living otherwise, so that they can focus solely on serving Hashem. So the intent of the Trumas and Maestros is for this purpose. The truth is, when the Pasuk talks about it in Parshas Korach in the Torah, there it says, Chelef Avodah Samash Rahim Ovdim. The Trumas and Maestros are in exchange for the service that they're performing in the Beis HaMikdash. But Chizkiyahu makes it, says it a little bit more, he says it a little more strongly, that it's to be strengthened in the Torah of Hashem. The pasuk he v'chifrotz hadavar, when the thing became popular, here b'vnei Yisrael reishis dug on tirosh v'yitzar udvash. The Jews brought their best of their grain and their wine and their oil and their honey. Honey here means the dates. V'chol tvuah sadeh, and all other types of fruits of the field. U'maser hakol arov aviv, much maaser they brought. U'vnei Yisrael Yehuda yoshim v'ari Yehuda. And then the Jews, who were not just in Yerushalayim, but also spread out through the cities of Yehuda, Gamheim Maaser Bakar Vatzon, they brought the Maaser of cattle and sheep, Umaaser Kadashim, and also other types of Karbanos, Hamukudashim LaHashem Elokim, that was sanctified for Hashem their God, Heviu, they brought it, Vayidnu Aremos, Aremos, they put it in piles. Mm-hmm. There were huge piles of gifts to the Kohanim and the Leviim. Now, remember that the discussion here begins from after the celebration of Pesach Sheni. Pesach Sheni is on the 14th day of Iyar. They celebrated for 2 weeks. So at least a week and maybe 2 weeks. The Pesukim, I said last week it was 2 weeks. I'm not sure when I reread it whether the second week was the same week repeated or not. It seems to me like it's 2 weeks, but I'm not 100% sure. But whatever it is, it was a long celebration. And then now we're in the third month, which is Sivan. So the pasuk says, "Bachonash Ashlishi." In the third month, Hechelu Haaremos Lisod. The in the third month, that's when they began the foundations of these piles, which means people started bringing all of their gifts to the Kohanim Leviim, and they started these piles. Uvachonash Hashvi'i Kilu. And they finished piling things up in the seventh month. The seventh month is Tishrei. So for 4 months, Sivan, Tammuz, Av, and Elul, they brought piles and piles worth of matanos, kuhuna, and levia, of different things for the Kohanim and the Leviim. So in the seventh month, which is Tishrei, Vayavo Yechizkiyo ve'asarim, so Yechizkiyo and his officers came, Vayiru es haremos, they saw the piles. Vayavarchu es Hashem, ve'samo Yisrael, they gave a bracha to Hashem and to his nation Yisrael, that they were so generous in how much they brought to the Kohanim and Leviim. However, Chizkiyahu was concerned, why didn't the Kohanim and Leviim actually use any of it? The whole point of it was to support the Kohanim and Leviim so that they can focus on their Avodas HaKodesh, on the work that they're doing, the sanctified work they're doing. But here instead you have piles and piles of food and they're not touching it. So he was concerned. Pasuk test, Vayidrosh Yechizkiyahu ala Kohanim. So Chizkiyahu asked them, he inquired, what's doing with these piles? How come you Kohanim Leviim aren't using it? Vayomer elav Azaryahu haKohen harosh leveis tzadok. So Azaryahu, the head Kohen, sounds like he's the Kohen Gadol from the house of Tzadok, said to him, Vayomer, he said, Me'achil haTruma laviveis Hashem, from the time the Truma started to be brought to the house of Hashem, which is in the beginning of the third month of Sivan, Achol v'savoa v'hoser ad larov. We ate, we were satiated, and there were leftovers until a whole bunch. Ki Hashem beirach es hamo, because Hashem blessed his nation. V'hanosar es hehamon hazeh, and we had all this huge leftover. So not only did Hashem give a bracha to the Bnei Yisrael that they had such an abundance of food that they were able to bring a huge amount of trumas and maisers to the Kohanim and Levim, but the Kohanim and Levim ate only a little bit and they were satiated. Hashem made a bracha in the food itself that it was nourishing and filling only from eating a little bit. So the Kohanim and Levim, although they ate, they did eat, they were satiated, nevertheless there were still piles and piles and piles of food available, which is a nes that took place. This is a bracha in the Torah says that v'achatem yashan noshan v'yashan v'chadash totziu. Rashi over there says, which is coming up in Parashas B'chukosai, that the bracha is going to be so great when we keep the Torah that we're going to be filling up all the silos with new, this grain and old grain and new grain, and we won't have any place for the new grain. There's going to be so much grain, so much food, there's going to be no place to put it. It's such an abundance, and even though people all have to eat, it's not going to replenish, it's not going to deplete the stores of grain that are going to be. That's how much abundance there's going to be. So now what are we going to do with this whole surplus? So Pasuk Yedaleh, verse 11, so Chizkiyahu said that they should prepare chambers in the Beis HaMikdash for this surplus, and they prepared that. They designated chambers for the extra food. So people brought the truma, the maaser, the kadshim, they brought it faithfully. And the one who was in charge of these lishachos, of these chambers, was Kananyahu the Levi. He was the one appointed as the head of it. Vishimi Achihu Mishnah. And Shimi, his brother, was the second in command. So Chizkiyahu set up essentially a government agency to deal with this surplus. And then the Navi lists other people involved. V'yichiel, v'azazyahu, v'nachas, v'asoel, v'irimos, v'yozavad, v'eliel, v'yismachyahu, u'machas, uvnayahu, all those people. Pikidim, miyad, Kananyahu, v'shimi, achiv, they were appointed by Kananyahu and Shimi, his brother. B'mifkad Yechizkiyahu HaMelech, with the power of appointment of Chizkiyahu the king, he gave them the power to appoint. V'azayahu nikid beis ha'elokim, and Azayahu was, that's the Kohen Gadol, he was the leader of the house of Hashem, meaning of the Beis HaMikdash. So these were all the people who were involved in this food surplus.
Were they all Levium?
It doesn't say that.
So
doesn't
we don't
say
know.
That. Right, I don't know. It doesn't say
so
that.
Why are their names important enough to be mentioned? So you know, nothing else about them.
Yeah, so I thought about that. I thought about, this is not the only place that Divrei Yom lists a lot of names. But I thought about that, and then I said to myself, if it were me, I'd be happy my name was in there. Right? Get mentioned in Tanakh.
Yeah. Right?
It's interesting that both times it says Shimi, his brother.
Yeah. It does mention that. Right. Pasuk Yudal, verse 14, V'korei ben Yimna ha-Levi, ha-Shoer la-Mizracha. Korei ben Yimna, the Levi, was in charge of the eastern gate. Al nidvoso Elokim, on the whatever was donated that through that gate for Hashem, laseis trumas Hashem v'kachi hakadoshim, to give the trum of Hashem and the kachi kadoshim, the different karbanos. Val yado, and with him was Eden uminyamin v'yeshua ushmayahu amaryahu ushkanyahu. Those are all people. Bari akohanim b'emuna, they were in the cities of the kohanim faithfully. Laseis lachem v'machlekos kagadol kakaton, to give out the food to their brothers no matter their stature, irrespective of the Kohanim's stature, they received a portion. So essentially, all these people are there were groups who were in charge. There was a segment of the people who were in charge of collecting, of and they didn't go around collecting. It was delivered to them all of the Trumas and Maestros, and then there was a distribution of Trumas and Maestros. In other words, what Chizkiyahu did is he created a government agency that would bring order to the collection and distribution of Trumas and Maestros. Now, Trumas and Maestros, the halacha is that anybody who's giving Trumas and Maestros has Tovas Hana'a. What is Tovas Hana'a? Tovas Hana'a means the privilege to give it to whichever Kohen or Levi they choose. So I'm a Yisrael. I have Trumas and Maestros that I have to give. I have to give Truma to the Kohen. I have Maestro to give to the Levi. So no one can tell me which Kohen I have to give the Truma to or which Levi I have to give the Maestro to. I can choose that. That's called Tovas Hana'a. Tovas Hana'a actually has a financial value. There's a value. You can sell Tovas Hana'a. The Gemara says, how do you determine how much Tovas Hana'a is? If we just discussed this last night. Last night there was a bar mitzvah, Bo Bayom. The Birnbaums made a Bo Bayom for their son last night. So Rabbi Birnbaum is a Kohen. He's married to Rabbi Hiller's daughter. And this is their oldest son who became Bar Mitzvah last night. So when I came in, I told them, we have an example here of the Gemara's Tovas Hana'a. Why? Because Rabbi Hiller is a Yisrael. But he has a grandson now who's a Kohen. Since his daughter is married to a Kohen, so he has a grandson who is a Kohen. So Tovas Hana'a is determined as follows. How much would Rabbi Hiller pay me to give my Trumos to his grandson? That's Tovas Hana'a. As you're not going to pay, if the Truma is worth $10, you're not going to pay $10. That's not right. But you may pay $1. You know, he may be worth to pay me $1 to give the $10 Truma to his grandson. Right? That's what Tovas Hana'a is. So the individual who is giving the Trumas and Maestros has the right to decide which Kohen, which Levi he will give them to. So you really, that's why there is no official setup in the Torah for the collection and distribution of Trumas and Maestros, because it's nobody's business. That's the individual's business of who he decides to give to. And that's why you never had a system like that in Eretz Yisrael. It was always whoever gives. But what happened here is that Hashem showered bracha on the Bnei Yisrael in the southern kingdom to the point where they had so much that people didn't know what to do with it. Now, they gave to their friends. They gave to the Kohen friends. They gave to the Levi friends. But they still had a huge amount of Trumas and Maestros, more than their Kohen and Levi friends could eat. So you're not doing anybody a favor giving them stuff they have no place to store. What are you supposed to do with it? So they brought it to the Beis HaMikdash and they put it down and they said, here it is, we don't know what to do with it. So that's why Chizkiyahu had to step in, because this is a good problem, mm-hmm. but it's a problem, has to be handled. So Chizkiyahu therefore created this government agency that would be the clearinghouse for all of the Trumas and Maestros that came in that were surplus. So you individual farmer who had Trumas and Maestros, you gave to whoever you wanted to, but then all the huge amount of extras you brought to the Beis HaMikdash, you gave it to the distribution center, and then they went around and made sure that everybody got, that there was whoever needed would get Trumas and Maestros.
Was the son of Yimna? Do we know who Yimna was? I don't know.
I don't know. So this is all in the first year of Chizkiyahu. It's a sudden change, this whole thing, this bracha that happened, and all of this that's going on. Pasuk Tezayin, verse 16. Milvan hisyachsam lizcharim miben shalosh shanim ulamayla. Besides, now hisyachsam usually means like comes with the word yichus, like lineage. Anybody have a translation here for that?
Genealogy.
Genealogy. Yeah.
Register, right.
Meaning that the distribution involved making sure everybody had, even mi ben shalosh shanim ulamayla, from 3 years and up. In other words, they kept records and they made sure that everybody who needed from 3 years and up would get whatever it had to be had over here. L'chol abala veis Hashem, for all that came to the house of Hashem, l'dvar yom b'yomo each day la'avodasim, for their service, v'mishmerosam kimach le'koseihem, for their in their shifts according to their jobs. It sounds from the pasuk that even at 3 years old they were already coming to the Beis Hamikdash to do something. Now they can't work really. Can't do avoda at 3 years old. They have to be at least bar mitzvah, even older than that. But but it seems like they did whatever had to be done. Remember that all the way back in the beginning of Shmuel, we learned that Chana brought Shmuel to Eli when Shmuel was 2 years old. Right, right. So even the young ones were able to do something. Shmuel was a Levi. And as the Kohanim were... Again, their genealogy according to the houses of their fathers. Valavim and the Levim mi ben esrim shana ulamayla, from 20 years and up. V'mishmerosam b'machlekosam, again according to their shifts, according to their jobs. Apparently, there it was 20 years and up. Ulihis yaches b'chol tapam neshem uvneim v'noseim l'chol kahal. Again, they would take into account all of the wives and the sons and the daughters, everybody. Ki v'amunasam yiskachu kodesh, because they were faithful in the way they dealt with all of the sanctified food. V'livnei Aaron ha-Kohanim b'stei migrash areihem b'chol ir v'ir, and for the sons of Aaron the Kohanim in their fields of Migrash Areihem, in every city. Remember that the Levim had 48 cities in Eretz Yisrael. And Levim means Levim and Kohanim. They had 48 cities in Eretz Yisrael. And those cities had a Migrash around their cities. A Migrash means an area where they could use for growing things and for grazing animals. And also like a park area, which was just for beauty. They had that around their cities. So that migrash, that area that they had, anashim asher nikvu b'shemos, there were men that were designated by name, laseis monos, l'chol zachar b'kohanim, l'chol yisyaches b'levim, to give portions to all the male kohanim and all those that were part of the Levium. This sounds like what we're saying over here is that what was grown in those cities, well, also whatever Trumas and Maisers came from, what was grown in those cities, was also distributed. Vayas Kazos Yechizkiyo b'chol Yehuda. Yechizkiyo did this in all of Yehuda. Vayas Hatov Vayashar, he did what was good and straight, v'ha'emes, and what was true, lifnei Hashem Elokav, in front of Hashem, his God. And all that he did, that he started in the service of the house of Hashem, and in Torah and mitzvot to seek out his God, he did it with all of his heart, and he was successful. So all of this is in the first year of Chizkiyahu HaMelech. So Chizkiyahu, who is going to rise to incredible prominence, but in his very first year, he completely turns the country around, and Hashem responds with an immense bracha, almost unprecedented. The bracha that happened, certainly proportionally, it was unprecedented. And what the pasuk describes from the days of Shlomo HaMelech was the wealthiest time that we Jews ever enjoyed. But here it seems that proportionally the surplus was beyond anything that had ever happened before. So it is against this backdrop that we have Sancheriv. Now, we're going to move back to Malachim, but let's just understand over here. With all of this going on, you expect that, and if it would follow the pattern we've had before, what you'd expect is there's going to be a bubble of protection over Malchus Yehuda, over the southern kingdom. And even though the northern kingdom may deserve to get punished, which they are going to get punished, and they're going to be taken into Galus, but the southern kingdom, they're unbelievable. So you would expect there now to be this bubble of protection. And even if they get attacked, they should easily repel the attackers and take huge amounts of spoils and captives, and that's what we've seen before. That every time they're behaving properly, there is protection. But we're going to find over here, I think for the first time, really, we're going to find an exception. And that is that Sanherib is actually going not only to defeat the northern kingdom, but he's going to come to the doorsteps of Yerushalayim, threatening, really threatening, the southern kingdom, to the point where Chizkiyahu is going to feel that he needs to make some concessions, which departs from what we would have expected given how great the turnaround has been in the southern kingdom. So this needs to be understood. This is different than what we've seen before. So let's go back now to Malachim. Malachim Beis, Perek Yurches, chapter 18. We started it already. And we're up to Pasuk Tes, verse 9. Now, this discussion, which we're about to get into, involving the actual attack of Sanherib and what happens, and the back and forth. It's not one. It's not just one attack, as we'll see. There's going to be a few different elements to this story. The story takes place here in Malachim, also in Divrei Hayamim, and also in Sefer Yeshayahu. So we're going to have to be toggling back and forth over here to get it all. Tonight, we're going to stick with Malachim by and large, but over the next few weeks, we're going to be toggling back and forth between Malachim, Divrei Hayamim, and Yeshayahu. Pasuk Tes, verse 9, Vayihi bashana haravis lamelech Chizkiyahu, and it was in the fourth year of the king Chizkiyahu, hi ashana shvis lo Hoshea ben Ela melech Yisrael, that was the seventh year of the rebellion of Hoshea ben Ela, the king of Yisrael, that he rebelled against Sanherib. Allah Shalman Eser Melech Ashur al Shomron. Shalman Eser, the king of Ashur, came up against Shomron. Shalman Eser is one of the seven names of Sanherib. Again, I've told you before, we have to have a discussion about the names of Sanherib, but this is one of them. Vayatzar Alel, he laid siege to Shomron, the capital of the northern kingdom of Yisrael. Vayul Kidua, and he conquered it, Miktzei Shalosh Shanim, within 3 years. Bishnas Sheish L'Chizkiyo, in the sixth year of Chizkiyo, now it's fourth, fifth, and sixth years, that was the siege. And he finally conquered Shomron, which was the sixth year of Chizkiyo. Hishnas Teisha L'Hoshea Melech Yisrael, and that was the ninth year of the rebellion of Hoshea, the king of Israel. Nilkad Shomron, Shomron was captured. And that was the end of the northern kingdom. Vayegel Melech Ashur, Yisrael Ashura, the king of Ashur took Yisrael, meaning the northern kingdom, into Golas, he exiled them to Ashur. Vayanchem b'chalach uv'chavor nahargozon v'arimadai, and he settled them in Chalach, Chavor, Nahargozon, and the cities of Madai. Why? Ala shalo shamu b'kol Hashem Elokeim, because they did not listen to the voice of Hashem their God. Vayavru es briso, they transgressed his covenant. Eis kol Hashem tziva Moshe eved Hashem, all that Moshe the servant of Hashem commanded them. V'lo shamu v'lo asu, they did not listen, they did not perform. So that is in the sixth year of Chizkiyahu. So the sixth year of Chizkiyahu, there is no more a northern kingdom. They're gone. And we learned before about the resettling of that area with the Kusim. We learned about that before. That all takes place now. When that finally is done, Sanherib turns his attention to the southern kingdom. Pasuk Gimel, verse 13, Uvar Abba Esrei Shana LaMelech Chizkiyahu, 8 years later, in the 14th year of Chizkiyahu, Ola Sanherib Melech Ashur Al Kol Arei Yehuda, Sanherib, the king of Ashur, comes up against all the cities of Yehuda, Habitsuros, that had been fortified, Vayis Bisem, and he captured them. They don't get it. They don't get away. They don't get a free pass here. The cities are captured by Sanherib. Yerushalayim is now threatened. So what does Chizkiyahu do? Vayishlach Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda al Melech Ashur Lachisha Lemar. So Chizkiyahu, the king of Yehuda, sends a message to the king of Ashur in Lachish, that's where he was, saying, Chatasi, I have sinned. Shuv me'olai, turn away from me. Don't attack me. Esa shatitin olai esa. Whatever you place upon me, I will carry. In other words, whatever terms you give me, I will fulfill for tribute. whatever you impose upon me financially, I will fulfill it. But don't attack. Vayasem melech Ashur al Chizkiyah melech Yehuda shlosh meos kikar kesef u'shloshim kikar zav. He put upon him a tax of 300 kikars, silver kikars, silver talents, and 30 kikar zav. This is an immense sum. Apparently it's annual, and he put this incredible sum on Chizkiyah. It doesn't say it was annual. Perhaps it was a one-time thing. I suspect it was annual. So Chizkiyah had to pay this money from someplace. So he took all the money from that was found in the house of Hashem, in the Beis HaMikdash, and in the treasure houses of the king. All of the treasure of the, all of the resources of the kingdom, he used to pay this tribute.
Was he allowed to take the money that was
Yeah, he was allowed to. He was allowed to, but we'll see. Remember I told you that the Mishnah discusses six things Chizkiyahu did that were, as your word you used last week was courageous. Three things the Chachamim agreed with him, and three things they disagreed with him. Here's one of the ones they disagreed about. Ba'isahi at that time, kitzatz Chizkiyah es dalsos heichal Hashem. Chizkiyah cut down the doors of the sanctuary of Hashem, ves ha'omnos, and the doorposts. Asher tzipa Chizkiyah melech Yehuda, the Chizkiyah, the king of Yehuda, had plated with gold. They were very, very expensive. Vayitneim lemelech Ashur, he gave them to the king of Ashur. This was a way of paying the tribute to Sancheiriv, and it succeeded at least, as we'll see, for a short time anyway, to keep Sancheiriv at bay. He accepted the tribute and did not yet attack. Sending the doors of the sanctuary was more than simply a way of pawning something expensive for money. This was also a message to Sancheiriv that Chizkiyahu was being machnia himself, was humbling himself to Sancheiriv. You see, the language Chizkiyahu used was, I sinned, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. And Chizkiyahu humbled himself. And by sending the doors, what he's essentially saying is, the doors are open to you. You can come in whenever you wish. Nothing is going to stop you. We are not here to stand in your way. The Chacham did not agree with this particular move of Chizkiyahu. Again, as we mentioned last week, or 2 weeks ago when we started discussing this, if it is true that Chizkiyahu had an opinion that was disagreed upon by the Chachamim, we have to understand both sides of the argument, because Chizkiyahu was the Gadol Hador. He was the greatest Torah scholar of his generation. And if he did something, it was not done impulsively. It was done because of a thought-out plan, and he held that this was the right thing to do. So we'll have to understand what was he thinking and what are they thinking. Pasuk Zayin, verse 17. Vayishlach melech Ashur es tarton ves rav saris ves rav shakei min lachish. And the king of Ashur sent tarton, rav saris, and rav shakei from Lachish. Those are three people. The main name you want from this list is rav shakei. Don't forget that name. Rav shakei is going to play a big role in this story. He sent those three, El HaMelech Chizkiyahu, to the King Chizkiyahu, Bechel Kaved, with a huge army, Yerushalayim. So he gave them teeth to back up what they're going to say. Vayalu Vayavo Yerushalayim, they came up, and they came to Yerushalayim. Vayalu Vayavo, and they came up, and they came. Vayadu Bis'alas HaBrecha El Yonah, and they stood in the upper what's that?
Aqueduct.
Okay. There was a pool of water which was Ashur b'Misilas Nechoves, which was in the field, the path of the field of the clothes washers. It was a place that was designated for washing clothing. This place is mentioned in several places in Tanakh. It's mentioned here, it's mentioned in Yeshayahu. Apparently it was a large area that could be used to make a proclamation. Vayikru el HaMelech, they called to the king. Vayetze aleim el Yakim ben Chilkiyahu asher al HaBayis. So El Yakim ben Chilkiyahu, who was in charge of the house, came out to them. So Chizkio didn't come out. He sent out, what is the person called? The White House
Chief of Staff.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So that's Eliakim ben Chilkio is the palace chief of staff. And he comes out. And also, Vishevna HaSofer, Shevna the scribe, meaning the scribe of the king, Vyoach ben Asaf HaMazkir, and Yoach ben Asaf was the Mazkir. The Mazkir is the person who is in charge of those who want to, who are coming to a court case with the king, of arranging who's going to come in first, who's going to come in second. That's what the Mazkir is. Now, of these people, the name you want to remember is Shevna HaSofer. Shevna is going to play a very, very significant role. Shevna was a very prominent Talmud Chacham. However, he is going to end up being at odds with Chizkio, and we will see that he's going to get himself into trouble. Shevna is the main person we want to remember in this list, and Rav Shakeh is the main one you want to remember in the previous list. Rav Shakeh was sent by Sanherib.
Is this Asaph? Is that from Tehillim, or is that a different one?
No, this would be a different one. I mean, I assume it would be a different one. Asaph and Tehillim would be much older, unless there's.
Well, I don't know what this father is.
Yeah. No. Right. No. We much older, but I don't know. Now, so you've got this group sent by Sanherib, and this group sent by Chizkio to meet the group sent by Sanherib. So you don't have Sanherib here, you don't have Chizkio here. The two kings are not present, but their top aides are now negotiating. It's hard to negotiate when one side has a massive army and the other side does not feel that they can fight it.
And they're ready at the border.
Right. Vayomer Aleihem Rav Shakeh. So Rav Shakeh said to them, Imru Noel Chizkio, say to Chizkio, Ko Amar HaMelech HaGadol Melech HaShur. So says the king, the great king, the king of Ashur. Ma Abitachon HaZeh HaShabbatachto. What is this reliance that you relied upon? Remember, Chizkio at first did not listen to Sanherib. This is what we learned earlier, that he, because of the fact that Chizkio was, he felt that he had Hashem on his side, he was willing to not pay attention to Sanherib, and did not, Sanherib had sent to him initially, and he didn't listen. But now that Yerushalayim is really threatened, he is listening. So Rav Shakeh is saying to tell Chizkio that the great king, the king of Asher, says, what is this business that you held out? What did you hold out? You thought you could protect yourself from me? Amarta, you said, Ach Devar Sifasayim, you said with your lips, you said that you'll find Eitzah, you'll find strength for war, that you talked a big talk. But now upon whom did you rely? That you rebelled against me. Who are you? What did you do? You were a big talker. But now we see that you really have nothing to back it up. And now that I'm here with an army, you're going to do whatever we say. Ata now, hine batachta lacha al mish'enes ha-kaneh ha-ratzutz hazeh al-mitzrayim. You relied on this weak reed that ha-ratzutz means that shatters on Mitzrayim, meaning you thought that maybe Mitzrayim was going to come help you to fight me. But Mitzrayim is a kaneh ha-ratzutz, which means you lean on it, because it looks like it can support you, but then it shatters under your weight. It doesn't really hold you up. Asher yisameich ish alav, a man will lean on it, uvav echapo, and it will cut into his hand, unikava, and cut it. Meaning, he's leaning on it, and then it cracks, and it actually cuts into his skin. That's what happens with this weak support. Kain Paro Melech Mitzrayim, that is the way it is with Paro, the king of Mitzrayim, L'chol Abot Chimalav, all who rely upon him. V'chisomrun Eilayin, if you'll say to me, El Hashem Elokeinu Batachnu, we don't rely on Mitzrayim, we rely on Hashem, our God. Hello, so says Rav Shakeh, Hello, who Hashem Heisir Chizkio Es Bamosav Es Mizbechosav? He, Hashem, he's the one that Chizkio removed the altars and the bamos of Hashem. Vayomer liYehuda v'liYerushalayim lifnei hamizbeach hazeh tishtachavu biYerushalayim. Then he told the people of Yehuda and Yerushalayim, you're going to have to bow only to this mizbeach in Yerushalayim. Meaning, Rav Shalkei was saying, Hashem isn't happy with you because you took away all of these bamos that were being used to serve Hashem. So Hashem is against you. That's what he was arguing. So the Gemara says, Rav Shalkei was a Yisrael Mumer. He was a Jew. He was a self-hating Jew who went off and joined Sancheriv. He knew how to push the buttons of the Jewish people because he was on the inside. Ve'atai now. So Chizkiyahu got rid of all the bamos, which we know was a courageous act, an important act, which was something which even the tzaddikim kings from before did not do. They weren't able to get rid of the bamos. Many times the Navi says, Raka bamos lo saru. The only thing they weren't able to do is get rid of the bamos. Chizkiyahu finally got rid of the bamos. Rav Shalkei turns that around. That's why Hashem is out to get you. Because you went against Hashem, the bamos were there to serve Hashem, and you got rid of them. Ve'ata now, Hisaref noes Adonias melech Ashur. Join with my master, the king of Ashur, meaning give up any autonomy, become simply an annexed by the king of Ashur. Ve'atana lecha alpayim susim, and I can give you 2,000 horses, im tuchal lasas lecha rochem aleihem, if you could give me riders to put on top of them. This was a taunt. We have 2,000 horses we could just give you. You don't have 2,000 people to ride them. Mm-hmm. This was taunting them to show how weak Chizkiyahu was compared to the king of Ashur. Ve'ichtoshiv es penei pachas achad avdei adoni haktanim. How could you even turn away one minor officer of the servants of my king? Vativtach lecha Mitzrayim, and you relied on Mitzrayim lerechev ulefarashim for chariots and horses. Meaning, you wouldn't even be able to defeat one small, tiny officer in the army of of Sancheriv. So, the intent over here is that even the most minor officer of Sancheriv had 2,000 horses, 2,000 cavalry, not to mention infantry, but cavalry, he had 2,000. Chizkiyahu didn't even have that. That's the most minor of all of the officers of Sancheriv. How many officers did Sancheriv have? So from here we're going to derive just how large and powerful the army of Sancheriv was. So we have, each one is going to have 2,000, a minimum of 2,000 horses with riders. How large was the army of Sancheriv? They were talking about officers. How many? I'm going to start from this side. This is how many officers.
Where do we get that from?
That's how many officers he had. 185,000 officers.
And where do we find that?
I think Gemara discusses. That's how many there were. The math comes out to in the hundreds of millions. That's the math comes out to. So should we put it down? Dina's pull down the numbers here. Right? Okay, that's what it says. This Gemara says that's the army that was brought against Chizkiyahu, as we will see. Now, is it an exaggeration? I don't know. I've heard wilder things. I can't tell you. All I know is that it's clear from the Gemara that there it was an incredibly huge, huge, huge army that Sancheriv has. He had an army that was truly an international army because he had conquered everywhere else and he had them under his control and they were part of his army. He had officers from all around the globe. Well, not the globe because it would be the known world. And he had people from all of those countries in his army. And he had ways of enforcing those foreign countries to fight for him, as we'll see.
But he was such a great tzaddik. Why was such a heavy manpower?
Right.
Almost like a punishment.
Mm-hmm.
That's what trying to really show this other person how great Hashem can be.
Okay. So in the end, of course, they're all going to get destroyed. But the thing is that, again, this is a departure. As we mentioned before, it's a departure from what we've seen in the past. That all of the surrounding cities would be conquered. And that they're really, I mean, he's taunting them. He's taunting them here. It's really, you wouldn't have expected this given all of the greatness that Chizkiyahu has already, even in his first year, how much he's done. And it's already his 14th year. You would not have expected this. Nowhere does it say that the Jews started to sin and that's why the army came against them. That's normally what you find. We don't find that over here. The Jews were behaving properly. And as we're going to see, they weren't just behaving properly. This generation of Jews was one of the greatest generations to ever live, as we will see. Remember, Chizkiyahu is going to be tapped to be Mashiach. It's not going to happen, but he's going to be tapped to be Mashiach. If he's capable of being Mashiach, it means the people he's leading were capable of deserving Mashiach. That's something which is unique. This is a very, very righteous generation. And yet all this is happening anyway. Chavhei 25. Atanel. Hamibaladei Hashem. Alisi alamakom azel ashkiso. You think I came up against this place to destroy it without Hashem? You think I'm going against Hashem by coming up to destroy Yerushalayim? Hashem amar elai. Hashem said to me. Ale ala aretz hazos vashkiso. Come up against this nation, this country and destroy it. Rav Shakeh is pushing their buttons. Right? He knows how to really get under their skin. He's trying to say, this is all from Hashem. It's all Bashert. It's all the Hashgacha. This is all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayomer. Did you see how far we're going to get tonight? Hold on. Okay, we're really getting into the meat of this. I just don't want to stop right in the middle. I think we're going to pause here. Because we're going to see, it's just going to keep going back and forth. Now, there's more drama than what we have here in Malachim. There's a lot of drama coming up, but there's more drama than we realize, and it's in other places, as I mentioned. Divrei Hayamim, Yeshayahu. So I have to decide here whether to continue reading the rest of the parak and then fill in the gaps with the other places, or to pause here and go to the other things. By next week, I'll have worked that out. But right now, I'm still deciding how to handle that. But as we're going to see, we're going to go back and forth. But right now, the main names to remember, besides, obviously, Chizkiyahu and Sennacherib, who are the two real ones having the clash over here, but you have Rav Shakeh on the side of Sennacherib. You also have, not to forget, Shevna, how do you pronounce it? Shevna, who's ostensibly on the side of Chizkiyahu. But we'll see that there's going to be a turncoat. For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.